Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The New Thing, A Silicon Valley Story is a nonfiction book by Michael Lewis that profiles entrepreneur Jim Clark and uses his career to examine the culture of Silicon Valley. During the 1990s internet boom, rather than offering a conventional business manual, the book blends biography, reportage, and cultural analysis. Lewis follows Clark through major ventures such as Silicon Graphics, Netscape, and Healthion, while also describing the exuberance, risk tolerance, and speculative energy that shaped the era. The book is especially concerned with the psychology of founders, the changing balance of power between innovators and investors, and the way technological ambition can reshape markets faster than institutions can adapt. It is both a portrait of an unusual businessman and a snapshot of a historical moment when internet entrepreneurship seemed to redefine the logic of capitalism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Jim Clark as the prototype of the restless Silicon Valley founder. At the center of the book is Jim Clark, who is presented less as a standard executive than as a figure driven by permanent dissatisfaction. Lewis emphasizes Clark's repeated pattern of creating something enormously valuable and then quickly moving on, as if success itself were only a temporary state. This matters because the book argues that Clark represents a particular entrepreneurial psychology ambition combined with impatience, technical confidence, and a refusal to be constrained by conventional limits. He is not depicted as motivated mainly by status or wealth, even though he accumulates both, but by a compulsion to keep searching for a new challenge. That restlessness helps explain why Clark could move from graphics hardware to the web browser business and then into healthcare technology. Lewis uses Clark to show that in Silicon Valley, the founder's temperament can matter as much as the product, because the same personality traits that create disrupt companies can also create instability, frustration, and unfinished ambitions. Secondly, how Silicon Graphics, Netscape, and Healthion illustrate startup-era disruption. Lewis uses Clark's companies as case studies in how a handful of ventures helped reshape technology markets in the 1990s. Silicon Graphics shows the high-end computing and visualization world that preceded the mainstream internet era, while Netscape captures the explosion of web-based business and the strategic conflict that followed Microsoft's rise. Healthion, by contrast, reflects the era's tendency to extend internet logic into almost any industry, even one as complex and regulated as healthcare. These examples are important because they show that the book is not simply about one successful entrepreneur. It is about a period when new technology repeatedly created room for founders to build companies before existing institutions fully understood what was happening. Lewis highlights both the speed and the fragility of this process. The companies are celebrated for their innovation, but they are also exposed as highly speculative, dependent on market timing, investor enthusiasm, and the founder's ability to keep momentum alive. The result is a clear picture of startup culture as both creative and unstable. Thirdly, the book's account of risk, hype, and the dot-com economy. One of the book's major concerns is the economics of the late 1990s, when investor excitement often outran practical evidence. Lewis describes an environment in which bold ideas were rewarded quickly, sometimes before they had proven commercial value, and where the possibility of a transformative future could justify extraordinary valuations. This is not treated as simple irrationality. Instead, Lewis shows how risk-taking became a structural feature of Silicon Valley culture venture capitalists, founders, bankers, and journalists all participated in a shared belief that the internet had changed the rules. At the same time, the book remains alert to the instability of such belief. Clark's ventures, especially those tied to large promises and future possibility, reveal how easy it was to confuse momentum with durability. The tone is therefore both fascinated and skeptical. Lewis does not dismiss the era's innovation, but he repeatedly shows that boom conditions can reward exaggeration, encourage overconfidence, and obscure the difference between genuine technological change and market excitement. This tension is central to the book's value as a historical account. Fourthly, founder power versus venture capital and institutional control. The New Thing also examines a shift in power within the technology economy. Clark's career reflects a moment when visionary founders could become more influential than the traditional gatekeepers of capital. Lewis shows how venture capitalists and investment bankers were often forced to respond to the founder's charisma, technical credibility, and ability to attract attention. In Clark's case, the founder is not merely a recipient of funding, but an active force shaping what investors consider possible. This inversion matters because it helps explain why Silicon Valley culture became so founder-centric. The person with the idea, the technical background, and the ability to inspire belief could set the terms of the deal. Yet Lewis does not present this as a simple triumph of entrepreneurship over finance. He also suggests that money still structures outcomes, and that founders who want independence must still negotiate with investors, markets, and public expectations. The book is therefore insightful about the changing relationship between innovation and capital, showing how the internet boom elevated founders while also binding them more tightly to speculative markets. Lastly, Lewis's method character study as economic history. What makes the book distinctive is Lewis's method. He does not write a conventional management book filled with prescriptions or a technical history of computing. Instead, he uses one vivid personality to explain a broader economic transformation. By focusing on Clark's obsessions, failures, and triumphs, Lewis makes Silicon Valley legible. It's a place where personality, culture, and finance intersect. This approach gives the book unusual clarity because it translates abstract changes in markets and technology into human terms. Readers learn about the internet boom not through charts or frameworks, but through concrete scenes involving product development, investor meetings, competitive battles, and personal compulsions. That narrative method is also a limitation in a useful sense. The book is better at insight than at instruction. It does not tell readers how to found a company, but it does show how one exceptional founder helped define an era. This combination of biography and economic journalism is what sets the book apart from more generic startup narratives. It reads like history, but it is organized around personality, which gives it both energy and analytical force. In conclusion, The New Thing is best suited to readers interested in technology history, entrepreneurship, Silicon Valley culture, and the psychology of founders. It will appeal to business readers, journalists, students of innovation, and anyone trying to understand how the internet boom changed both markets and attitudes toward risk. Its practical value lies less in providing a startup playbook than in showing how ambition, timing, and institutional change interact in real economic revolutions. The book helps readers see why some entrepreneurs become central to entire eras and why innovation often produces instability alongside growth. What distinguishes it from many books in the same category is Michael Lewis's combination of sharp reporting, wit, and character-driven analysis. He does not flatten Jim Clark into a heroic business icon or a simple cautionary tale. Instead, he presents Clark as a highly revealing case through which to understand the culture of 1990s Silicon Valley. That makes the book more than a biography of one man. It becomes a study of how technological optimism, speculative capital, and founder psychology helped shape the modern internet economy. If you would like to support Michael Lewis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.